Welcome to the Lifting Lounge podcast. Join your hosts, Josh Parkin and Jack Buffery, as they give you the knowledge and the tools to take your physical and mental performance to the next level.
Hello. I just had to unveil my left breast because I realized that the most powerful logo and brand in the world wasn't revealed properly. So, yeah.
My mic always gets in the way of it.
Yeah.
It's really annoying.
That's not good. But yeah, the brand, for those of you who don't know, is RDA. And if you want to really understand the brand, ladies and gentlemen, then just head over to www.therdasystem.com and buy some shit. But Josh.
Anyway, before we get into that, the episode today is about thoracic extension, potentially the new Kang, our thoughts on fancy kit, a study on bottled water, and cardio versus weights for fat loss, and which best. You probably already know our answer, but we're going to go through it anyway. But yeah, Jack, how are you? How's your morning been?
I love the way your voice changed. That was quite interesting. Well, Josh, as you know, we may or may not have had an interesting meeting this morning in regards to the future of RDA with a group of people who are doing exceptional things in our home county of Cornwall. That is all I'm going to say on the matter. But yeah, it feels good. I feel pumped. I feel happy. I feel excited for the future. Good things are happening.
Yeah, I mean, it is exciting and it's good. So it was a very good morning so far. But yeah, we're here. Have you trained today? Are you training today?
I am training today. I have got legs today. You've
already trained
first thing in the morning, haven't you?
Yeah, it's full body today. So dumbbell snatches and dumbbell clean and jerks. And I didn't realize actually how much I hated those two exercises because it was double dumbbell snatches as well. You know, single arm dumbbell snatches, easy. Double arm is actually quite hard.
So much harder, yeah, because you have to stabilize both shoulder girdles at the same time and the core and everything. It's not just like, it's not as easy as just whipping it up into place. Yeah, definitely. That's cool, though. It's nails and it's gassy as hell, which most people don't realize about those sorts of exercises as well. That's good.
Tomorrow, I'm doing a double, so I'm going in the morning to do deadlifts, but then straight after, they've convinced me I'm going to my first ever calisthenics class.
Very nice. Well, you've been talking about calisthenics for a long time now, so that's really good.
Yeah, that is very good.
I'm back to a more standardized plan now, just because of injuries and illnesses and stuff like that. It's just it's bugged me that I haven't been able to make progress in the right ways in certain things. So I've gone back to a 6-day split, but I was supposed to pick it up yesterday. I'm now picking it up Saturday. I'm picking up a treadmill as well to take care of the cardio work, just so. That way I can get my cardio in at home when it's shitty weather and just whack something on like a podcast or whatever on. People on the podcast may have heard me mention before that I dislike running on a treadmill, but I think if it's there, then I've got zero excuses. So yeah, I'm just going to rock on with that. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Also, I'm not going to go too much into the details. This episode, I might talk a little bit more about what I'm doing in terms of food. I just weighed myself, and at the beginning of this year, which by the way was only 10 days ago, I was 99.5 kilos. I am now 95.5 kilos.
Fuck, that's a lot of weight.
Yeah, it's highlighted for me how much of it was bloat and possible inflammation, as well as a little bit of excess body fat, because it won't all be with breakdown of body fat. But yeah, I'll talk about that more on a later episode. So there's a little bit of a titillation teaser there for a future episode.
Yeah, I keep forgetting to weigh myself. So I wake up early because I go to the gym at 5:30, and I get up at 5, literally get out the door and go. I literally get up, have a piss, clean my teeth, go. And I think because of that, I'm just fucking so like, in the morning. I keep forgetting to weigh myself, so I need to. But I know what I weighed at the start of the year, and I've been on it with my food. So we shall find out. But
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Good luck with this one.
Josh, help me out a little bit here.
Yep.
Sometimes my tip struggles to extend. relative basis.
We need that sponsorship.
I mean, no matter. Yeah. I mean, you got any ways I can improve it? Maybe with some sort of pulling motion that I can extend my tip, Why don't you lay out the details for me?
Isn't that called jelking? Isn't that an actual thing?
I don't know. What the fuck are you talking about?
So there's a thing about how you can... It was a program on BBC fucking years ago. There was a guy experimenting with all the different ways to make his penis bigger. And
whoa. Who's talking about penises here?
Yeah, and nobody. I'm just you know, giving off a bit of information. And he tried all these things like extenders and stuff. And the only thing that worked was a thing called jelking, where you like squeeze and stretch it for like multiple times for reps, and then it just gets longer after a month or so.
Basically, jerk off to make your dick bigger. Okay, fair enough. Okay,
yeah. Right. So okay. Yeah, there you go. Anyway,
sorry, darling. I'm just improving the experience for you. That's why I'm doing it so much.
Yeah. So my tip for today, people, is if you want to improve thoracic extension, if you don't want to know what that means, that's the ability to extend, push your chest to the sky, stand up a bit taller, or bend your back more. If you want to improve that, then use dumbbell cross bench pullovers. Now, the reason I say cross bench pullovers is that allows you to get a bit more of a stretch over one side and actually drop your hips down on the other side, so you create more of a bend. If you don't know what pullovers are, you hold a dumbbell over your head. You can do it with barbells and stuff as well, or a cable machine. And you lie on your back across a bench the wrong way. And then you lean back, stretch back, get as much of a stretch as you can, and then pull through your lats. You can hit your chest, you can hit your arms, whatever you're choosing, essentially. And it's a really good way of opening up your upper back.
Yeah, I really like this kind of pullover as well, because you're going to feel it in a lot of other places. You can use it almost as a stretch in some places. And if you're using it safely and effectively, it can help with shoulder mobility. It can help with core stabilization as well. It is a really, really good exercise. And yeah, just getting that across the bench variation of it just helps open up the rib cage as well. I think it could actually be utilized for helping better breath work and stuff like that too. So a lot of benefits to that. And yeah, definitely the thoracic extension is one of them. Yeah, that's perfect. And also in terms of equipment, I actually also prefer dumbbells as well. I prefer gripping like either end of a dumbbell as opposed to using two. I like just using one and gripping either end of it in each hand and pulling that over. I prefer that to a barbell a lot of the time.
Yeah. I quite like that as well. So go for that, guys, if you are looking to try and improve your thoracic extension. But let's move on to the next section, and we've got a bit more Geek Corner today, and there has been rumors of the next Kang, who the next Kang is going to be. As Jonathan Majors may be in prison for a year, then he's no longer going to be Kang. So the next Kang is potentially being announced or rumored, and the next Kang is potentially going to be Colman Domingo. Now, do you know who Colman Domingo is?
I do. I watched quite a few episodes of Fear the Walking Dead, and he was a big character in that. But yeah, I'll let you carry on first before we go any more into that.
Yeah. So, I mean, he was in Fear the Walking Dead. He's also been, he's been in quite a few movies. He's in Transformers Rise of the Beasts. He's in Lincoln ages ago, which is cool.
I've still not seen that.
Yeah, he's been in quite a lot of fucking movies, and quite a lot recently as well. His resume is pretty big, and he's also been nominated for a Golden Globe, so I guess that means he's fairly legit, for a movie called Rustin, which I haven't actually seen.
No,
I don't really know what it's about. Yeah,
what's it called? Did you say? Sorry,
it's Rustin, and it's a biographical drama film directed, which is about civil rights activist Bayard Rustin.
Oh, okay. No, I haven't heard of that.
Mm.
So, yeah, a few weeks ago, I sent you a message, and I actually never explained why I sent it to you, and that was your thoughts on John Boyega replacing
Kang.
So where that came from is that he'd been fan cast in a load of art and stuff like that. So for those who don't know, John Boyega is his what's his name in Star Wars?
It's not Poe, it's the other one.
No, the one who hangs around with Poe. I can't remember. New trilogy shit, so I don't care. But yeah, here's the guy from the new trilogy of Star Wars films, and I think he's an underutilized character in that as well. But he's, he was also rumored to become it. And I saw a picture of him with a bit of facial hair and a similar hairdo to what Jonathan Majors, and he actually looked the part quite well. But I haven't looked too much into this since I've heard, but I do know that Jonathan Majors' contract said that no one else could play Kang. I don't know if because there is legal repercussions involved that makes the contract void or not, but there were rumors of him being replaced with Doctor Doom instead of Kang being a big bad Doctor Doom was going to be. So we'll see. Another one who I do like, though, is the main guy from Tenet. I think he would actually be a good fit because he's a good actor as well.
That's not Denzel Washington's kid, is it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, Denzel Washington's son.
John David Washington. Yeah, he's cool. I like him. I mean, you know, if they do another Kang, I don't see a problem with that. And I think there's potential for it. They've already built it up quite a bit. So, yeah, it would be cool. But if they bring in Doom, man, Doom would be epic.
I reckon we'll see him. I reckon we'll either get teased him like, what's his name? Thanos. Before Thanos even became a thing, like the little teases we had of him, I reckon that's going to start probably this year with whatever Marvel films come out this year, if any are coming out this year, I don't know. And yeah, I think he's going to become the next big bad, probably possibly after Kang. And there's a Fantastic Four movie coming out, so that might be the first we see of him. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out.
Well, I mean, it'd be cool if they use him for Secret Wars, because he is a big part to play in Secret Wars. So.
Yeah, I haven't got a clue about any of that. Obviously, you know way more about that than me, so that's good. While we're on the Marvel note, though, I am going to say, because I won't be able to speak about this probably for a few episodes, that whilst having lunch a minute ago, I just watched the first 15 minutes of Echo, the new TV show. And it is giving serious Daredevil and Punisher vibes. So
awesome.
For anyone who doesn't know what me and Josh's thoughts are, that is a very positive thing. And it looks, there's only 5 episodes, so it's not going to take long to get through that. So probably not the next episode, but a couple of episodes after we'll be able to talk about that. It's good. It started off strong as well. It alluded to the more mystical side of things, as well as like the very serious side of things as well. So I'm looking forward to that journey. It's going to be good.
What's the series after this? Is there a series after this?
God, I don't know. I still haven't caught up with Loki yet. I haven't watched any of the second season. What is next? I actually don't know.
You haven't seen Loki yet?
No, I haven't watched season 2 yet.
Oh my God, man. It's so good.
I wasn't sure if I had to watch the Marvels first. I didn't know if there was going to be any spoilers for the Marvels in Loki.
No.
I expect the Marvels is going to be out on streaming soon as well. I keep on seeing articles as well saying, is Deadpool going to be the savior of the MCU? But we'll see. I don't know about that. To be honest, I'm thinking more the TV shows are, because at the moment, what is the last good MCU film, do you think? What's the last one you were like, yes, this is good?
Guardians.
Yeah, that's a good point. I always forget about Guardians for some reason. I was going to say it was Endgame for me.
Like, no, Guardians 3. Well, Spider-Man Far From Home was after Endgame.
Oh, yeah. Do you not forget about that as well? Yeah. Good point. Oh. Yeah, both of them. I'd say Spider-Man's the one I was more excited for. That was the one there was no negotiation. I was going to go to the cinema to watch
that. Yeah.
So that's the one I was proper excited for. But yeah, I did enjoy Guardians of the Galaxy as well. So, okay. Yeah.
There you go. See? It's not all bad. Right, well, let's move on from Geek Corner. This looks like it's going to be a fly-through episode.
Yeah.
So, this question I brought to you because the gym I train at, one of the guys who owns it, treated himself at Christmas to an Alico bar. So, if people don't know what that is, so Alico, essentially, they're like the number one manufacturers pretty much for strength equipment, predominantly weightlifting, so like Olympic weightlifting style stuff. They'll supply the Olympics. Their engineering is on another level. Apparently, they have a platform, right, that will, from full height, will always, no matter the weight, only do 2.5 bounces when it drops.
Wow. That's insane engineering, isn't it? Like, that's not just something I would consider. That's so mental.
Yeah, isn't it just? But they have some of the best barbells ever, and they have an Alico bar has been bought for the gym that I'm at, which is very exciting. Costs £939 just for the bar.
Is it a 7 foot?
Yeah, it's a full 20 kg, full bar. Yeah, mm-hmm. So it costs £900. IWF weightlifting training bar they've got. And also, I don't know if you've seen recently, they did for April Fool's 1 year, they put out an ad for they called it the Alico Heavy Mug. And it was a mug they'd made that was like super heavy. It was like 20 kilos, I think, for the this
oh
mug.
My God.
And then it got so popular, people wanted it. They went, all right, okay, we'll manufacture some. And they only manufactured like 100 or something. And they had over 70,000 people apply for it.
What? 8.7 kilos it is.
Oh, is that what it was? 8.7 kilos. Yeah. Still fucking heavy for a mug, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man, that is ridiculously heavy for a mug. A lot of people wouldn't even be able to pick that up. Plus, so by the time it's filled up, 8.7, 300 mil in a standard mug, that'll take it up to a 9 kilo. That's it. That's fun. Yeah.
And I mean, they're probably on sale on eBay now for like a ridiculous amount. Let's have a look. $2,000.
It's even got a dumbbell grip for the handle. Of course it has. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah.
Someone's selling one for $2,000.
We decided not to release it. Oh, wow. There's a video of people trying to drink it. It's freaking hilarious. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. It's so thick.
Yeah, it's thick. Like it's a big mug.
I think it's got a 2-inch. I think the bore of the actual mug is 2 inches as well, so you could probably slot a bar into it.
Yeah,
probably. Or slot it on the end of a bar. That's mental. I'm just looking at the website now. So the reason I'm on the website, I was actually looking at
the bar. Here.
But yeah, I was looking at the plates themselves. So Alico plates are 0.05%. accuracy margin for error, which for weight plates is fucking ridiculous, by the way. That is that's a really good accuracy level.
I mean, they're fully calibrated. So anyway, Alico, a competition bar. Actually, fuck, I've just seen IWF Alico competition bar is over $1,000. Fuck. Yeah. Alico do the same stuff. So the gym I'm at has got Alico bar in. But my question was, what do you think about fancy kit? What is your thoughts on fancy kit?
Well, here's the thing, isn't it? So when you're talking about that, so I'm just trying to find, right, there's just that 1,100 and whatever details. Let's have a look at this. So 550, it's the majority of people do not have to worry about fancy kit whatsoever. Mm. But when you get to a certain level, I've had cheap barbells in the past, which are probably only rated to like a maximum of 200 kilos. Like I wouldn't actually want to even put 200 kilos on them. I can't find what this bar is rated to, but it's safe to say that this is going to be rated to over 500 kilos. When you're performing at that level, whether it's the full 500 kilos or whether you're doing heavy cleans and snatches, the ball bearing performance is going to make a difference as well. Basically, if you're a master of your craft and you're strong, then yeah, it does make a difference when you're lifting with a bar like that. It's the same thing as always, though. You could get away without having something that nice, but once you do have it, you'll probably never want to go back.
I mean, it's one of those things, isn't it? Because I also kind of really, I like both, you know. I like the fancy kit sometimes. Like, yeah. I'd love to have calibrated plates and fucking all that shit and a platform that only does 2.5 bounces. But at the same time, I like going into a proper spit and sawdust gym where the dumbbells are like those old rusty metal ones that are like got like 10 plates on one side and look fucking huge. And there's some guy in there who's jacked up on roids, just in a fucking beater, throwing them around. Like, I also like that, you know? So it's a real tough one. There's some dumbbells you can get, though, that when they're done really well, a bit more fatter grip, and they have your custom like logo on this side, all full metal, and they just look amazing. But I would say I agree that fancy kit, you don't really need it. The stuff that I would say people should spend more money on if they want to buy fancy kit is the stuff that you wear. So like a belt, I would say probably you're better off like an SBD belt, weightlifting belt. It feels so much different to just any old standard belt. it does, like, it gets you way tighter. Or like a pair of lifters, you want to spend good money on a pair of lifters because you're going to be wearing them all the time, and a good pair will fit to you better and will be more comfortable. But in terms of kit, you can get away with most stuff unless you're getting to a higher level. And if you're at a high level and you need like a bar that's more bendy, or you need a stiffer bar, or this, that, and the other, then it's time to think about it.
So yeah, I mean, I'm the worst person to speak to about belts and anything like that, because I literally don't know anything about them. A belt would be wasted on me because I don't even know how to brace properly in a belt, because I've just never done it. So yeah, but bars, I mean, in terms of equipment, I would say bars are, again, yeah, like you just said, they're good once you get to a certain level. I'd be more inclined to spend a bit more money on the plates first, just because they'll be calibrated a bit more and they'll be a bit more even. But even then, you're still going to get away with like a hell of a lot. The thing is, for the price of that one bar, you could get a decent set of Hex rubber dumbbells that go all the way from like 5 kilos probably to about 50, I would have thought, for the same price as one of those bars. So
you could also probably get a cable machine.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, that's a very good point.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some cable machine with pull up attachment and all that sort of stuff. You could probably get something like that for that much money.
Yeah, you could. Definitely, especially if it was a plate loaded one.
But I guess the thought process to take away from this is, yeah, if you're at a bit higher level, then maybe you need to go to a gym which has all this different kit, like a strength gym, has all that stuff. But if you're looking to join a gym and you go somewhere and they don't have like all the newest kit, then it doesn't really matter. Like, you just go wherever. You could train in someone's garage with just a couple of dumbbells and still get some good results. So
yeah,
don't
definitely
really worry about the kit. However, I am going to fanboy over fancy kit when I see it.
Oh yeah, definitely. So we'd appreciate it. Like, cause we've got a deadlift bar at work, and when I use that, and that isn't even anywhere near as fancy as the Alico one, but whenever I use that, it's so much nicer than deadlifting with a standard bar. Like, it's you notice the difference. And yeah, like I say, if you use it regularly, it'll be hard to go back to just like a standard cheap bar.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be very, very hard to go back for sure if you're used to it. Especially like the difference between a real bendy bar or a stiff one. When you don't know the difference it makes a deadlift until you get used to using a bendy bar, because it does make deadlifts that bit nicer.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Another thing to look out for on bars as well is if they've got like a bolt where you see an Allen key bolt in the end of a dumbbell, at the end of a barbell.
Annoying.
Yeah, so I've actually got a couple of those in my home gym, and yeah, that means they're not that good, basically. That's a cheap bar. You want to see an enclosed end on a barbell. That is one of the, when we say fancy kit, that doesn't mean it's fancy, but I would say that is like the minimum kind of standard you'd want, like not the bolt kind of Allen key thing.
Oh, fucking the bolt ones get on my tits. So, let's move on. Let's move on to our study time. And the study time is for anybody out there that drinks bottled water. I know it's actually quite popular in some places. I mean, I've never done it, but I'm a tap water ho. But, you know, like some people like real love drinking bottled water all the time. So this study is for you guys. And this title of the study is Bottled Water Can Contain Hundreds of Thousands of Previously Uncounted Tiny Plastic Bits. And we all know that tiny plastic bits are great for you. They're real good for you. That's what we want in our bodies, is lots of plastic and phthalates and, yeah, just what we need. So here's a...
You've got a phthalate in your body, did you say?
Phthalates, you dirty bastard. So in recent years, there has been rising concern that tiny particles known as microplastics are showing up basically everywhere on Earth. From polar ice to soil, drinking water and food formed when plastics break down into progressively smaller bits. These particles are being consumed by humans and other creatures, with unknown potential health and ecosystem effects. One big focus of research, bottled water, which has been shown to contain tens of thousands of identifiable fragments in each container. Now, using newly refined technology, research have entered a whole new plastic world. the poorly known realm of nanoplastics, the spawn of microplastics that have broken down even further. For the first time, they have counted and identified these minute particles in bottled water. They found that on average, a liter contained some 240,000 detectable plastic fragments, 10 to 100 times greater than previous estimates, which are based mainly on larger sizes. The study was published in the Journal of Proceedings of National Academy Sciences. Nanoplastics are so tiny that, unlike microplastics, they can pass through the intestine and the lungs directly into the bloodstream and travel from there to the organs, including the heart and brain. They can invade individual cells and cross through the placenta to the bodies of unborn babies. Medical scientists are racing to study the possible effects of a wide variety of biological systems. Previously, this was just a dark area, uncharted. Toxicity studies were just guessing what's in there, said the person who did this. This opens a window where we can look into a world that was not exposed to us before. Worldwide plastic production is approaching 400 million metric tons a year. More than 30 million tons are dumped yearly in water or on land, and many products made from plastics include synthetic textiles, shed particles while still in use. Unlike natural organic matter, most plastics do not break down into relatively benign substances. They simply divide and redivide into smaller and smaller particles of the same chemical composition. Beyond single molecules, there are no theoretical limit to how small they can get. They'll just fucking keep going, just keep getting smaller. So anyway, I won't read the rest of it because it's actually really fucking long. Yeah, bottled water, guys, is full of microplastics. And if anybody's listened to that, I don't know what the doctor's called, but there's a while back, there's a lady who went on Rogan and did an episode on the study she's been doing on microplastics in pregnant women and then the effects that had on the children. And what they were finding was, and it was funny how they did it, they would measure the distance between the anus and the balls. If your gooch, people that had consumed a lot of microplastics during pregnancy would give birth to boys that had a smaller gooch, and that would mean that they were more likely to be infertile and have lower testosterone, which, as we know, is not fucking good. Dr. Shauna Swan. So if you drink bottled water, and also anything containing plastic, so, and it's a specific type of plastic, isn't it? I can't remember what it is, but it's certain, whatever it is, plastic. If microwavable meals, anything that you cook anything in plastic is not good. So you need to start trying to remove that from whatever you can. If you drink tap water, like me, it's probably a good idea to buy a filter. Yes, there's going to be some part of that you're not going to be able to avoid, unfortunately. It's just inevitable. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, removing as much as you can from your food, from anything that you consume, is a fucking great idea.
Yeah, there's. I read some studies a little while ago, and there's. I heard about the baby thing. Apparently, newborns are born with a certain microplastic, or by the sounds of it, nanoplastic content in their blood. And I think on average, an adult human carries a credit card's worth of plastic around in their bloodstream and body just from this sort of stuff. And it's not cool, man. And there's the same lady who you just spoke about, she talked about a number of other things, not just fertility, but because it works on hormonal things, it does actually affect estrogen and testosterone as well. And it affects things like the palate, the chin, the makeup of the jaw and stuff like that as well. And it affects so much in our lives. And you see a lot of startups actually trying to combat this at the moment, which I think is really good, by using thinking outside the box and using other materials that are going to replace plastic. And it needs to be done, because plastic does no good for anyone in any situation. It's used in far too much. It doesn't break down. essentially, once it's made, thousands of years before it degrades, it'll like a plastic bottle now, or say especially one from, like, imagine a plastic bottle from the 90s, it'll be much thicker and sturdier than it is now, is gonna be here for thousands of years unless it's melted or burnt down or something.
Yeah, exactly. So guys, if you can, try to stay away from plastic shit. Even like down to your protein shaker, buy a metal one.
Yeah.
Who's using plastic protein shakers anymore anyway? They stink. You get a fucking metal one. It doesn't stink. Yeah. Stuff like that. Anything you can reduce your plastic. Get a metal water bottle. With my most of the meal prepping boxes I have now are made of glass. You know?
Oh, really? I need to swap out for that as well, actually.
Well, I've got half and half. So I've got I've got like 8 glass ones and then other plastic ones, which I really need to change up the other plastic ones, but it's more storage. But yeah, you can get glass ones now, just buy them off Amazon. Simple as that.
Yeah.
And I would say they last longer as well, less likely to break because they're quite thick unless you fucking throw them on the floor.
Yeah.
So yeah, try to reduce plastic. It is better for your health, and more studies coming out saying how bad it is.
Guys, if you're thirsty and you go out and buy a bottle of water, that's fine. But one of the other things I will say is just keep it out of the sun, because the sun will make it break down even faster and just release stuff into the water. So, yeah, just keep it cool. Keep it out of the sun, in the shade.
And don't keep reusing it for days and days and days.
Definitely.
Once you've used it, leave it.
Yeah. Good. Nice study time, Josh.
Right. Yeah. So let's move on to the hot topic. And today's hot topic is cardio versus weights for fat loss, which is best? Now, my result today is to differentiate between how cardio and weights affect fat loss. My drivers are, people can be confused by what is most important. You know, we hear it all the time, Jack, so we know what the common things are. And my actions are, I'm going to explain how each affect fat loss, and then we're going to have a little discussion on which we think is best and why we think is best. So this is actually, as you can see, I wrote fuck all down, Jack, because this is more really discussionary.
Lazy bastard. Yeah.
And to be honest, this is probably going to be a really quick hot topic because we know exactly what we're going to say. But first things first, before anything, before I'm even going to go into cardio or resistance training, fat loss is just one thing, and we'll say this all the time, it's energy. Yeah, so it's how much energy are you burning compared to how much you are consuming. If you are burning more energy than you are consuming, you will lose fat. That is the be all and end all of it. But people do get into the nitty gritty of, oh, I need to lose weight, I should go for a run, or, you know, I need to lose weight, what should I do, what training should I do, or I just need to train, exercise. So first things first, get your nutrition in check. Make sure you know how much energy you are burning in comparison to how much energy you are eating. So, cardio. How does cardio affect fat loss? Does cardio affect fat loss? Yes, cardio does affect fat loss. You will lose fat if you do cardio. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to do cardio to lose weight, but it may not be the best thing for you. If you are focusing on, if that's your goal is to do cardio-based sport or training and you want it to be a runner, then great. Doing cardio is necessary and you will lose weight doing cardio. What I'll say to people is look at high-end runners. What do they look like? None of them really have an ounce of fat on them. Yeah, if you're a marathon specialist, they don't really have an ounce of the fat on them. It will burn fat, and depending on what stage energy, what kind of heart rate zone you are in, you're potentially more likely to burn fat because of the energy source that's used. So if you're in a lower, more comfortable heart rate zone, I can never remember which number zone it is, but you're more likely to use fat as an energy source rather than
zone two training.
Zone two. So you're more likely to use fat as an energy source than use glycogen, use sugars. Yep. So yes, you can do some zone two training to burn fat.
Yeah. And I think the confusion comes from a point that you just said, actually, Josh. Look at runners. They hardly ever have fat on them.
Yep.
So what's the logical explanation for that? Run and you will have fat loss. Okay. Yes. Yeah, that makes sense. But the thing is with running, yeah, they may have started running for fat loss, but then when they become long-term runners, they run because they enjoy running. Okay. Obviously, it will lose fat, but if they're doing it for the enjoyment of running, that's great. However, fat isn't going to be the only thing they're going to be losing. So they're also going to be losing a little bit of muscle. And I think this is where the confusion comes in, because people look at runners and see they're skinny. They think this must be the best way to lose fat. But remember, that's not really the ultimate goal when people get into running for the sake of running and then like evolve from the thing of fat loss. So yeah, it'd probably be best to cover that after we talked about the next one as well. So yeah, it's not just going to be fat loss. It's also going to be losing some muscle when you're only running for your exercise.
Yep, exactly. And that's it. It doesn't differentiate, really. It just likes to just burn what it can.
Mm-hmm.
So then move on to how weight training, doing weights affects fat loss. Now, if you listen to episode 106, we talk about how to maximize fat loss, and we talk about resistance training in there. And resistance training coupled with a high protein diet will help increase protein synthesis and will help retain muscle mass. So if your goal is to lose fat but still have a lean physique and have maintained some muscle mass, then resistance training will help you maintain muscle mass. It will also, if you're new, you may potentially build some muscle mass, and what that will do is help you burn more fat because your body requires more energy to just function because you have more muscle mass. So that is why we would do resistance training. And resistance training is still going to burn energy. You're still going to be burning energy doing that because it's exercise, yeah? And your muscles need energy to perform and to recover. So essentially, if you did weights training, what that would do is help keep muscle mass on and not lose too much. You will still lose a little bit, but nowhere near as much as if you didn't do weight training.
Mm-hmm. And why do we need to keep muscle to lose fat? Because muscle is metabolically active. It is a tissue that actively burns calories, whereas fat doesn't. So this is where the problem arises with only doing cardio for fat loss, is that if you're burning muscle as well, you're actually reducing the body's capability for effectively burning fat. So it's much, much easier the moment you stop doing cardio to put a bunch of fat back on, because yes, you haven't got any muscle to help keep it off. Whereas resistance training is a little bit different. You've got the muscle on your body and that will keep being metabolically active until you lose the muscle.
Yeah, exactly. So we need to make sure that we are setting ourselves up to keep that fat off. Then it's a common thing, like you said, is a lot of people will lose a bunch of weight and then they will come out of that and then put a lot of weight back on. And that's what we don't want. And you are probably more likely to do that by just doing cardio and not building up any muscle mass in comparison to doing it the other way around and doing weights. So if you haven't figured out already, what are our preferences? Which is better, Jack, lifting weights for fat loss or doing cardio?
Well, here comes the old answer that everybody hates. I guess it depends a little bit, doesn't it? But if you're talking about the best way to do it, if you can do it through primarily resistance training, it is going to put you in a much, much better position for your future and your health.
Yeah, definitely. It will put you in a better position.
Mm-hmm.
It will definitely put you in a better position. And also, it's not just about looking good or leaving the fat off. It's also preventing injury. Having a balanced muscular physique is going to help keep you injury free. Yeah, mm-hmm. if you're not building up any muscle mass whilst you're doing a lot of cardio, say you're just running all the time, and you're not building up any strength and not building up any muscle mass to protect your joints, then you're potentially going to cause some wear and tear in your joints. So trying to do some form of resistance training anyway, even if you are just doing cardio, is going to help keep you injury-free as well as build some mass. So mm-hmm. we need to make sure that we are doing some form of resistance training, even if your goal is to focus on cardio. But like you said, the most important thing to do is the thing that's going to get you doing it. So if like you fucking never want to lift a weight, but you really like running, then fine, be a runner. Like, mm-hmm. great. I'd rather you do something than nothing. But resistance training in terms of fat loss, keeping the fat off, is 100% better.
Yeah. Well, look, right now we're probably coming off like cardio haters, which we are not. In an ideal world, you'd be strength training between 3 and 6 times a week and getting between 1 and 3 runs in a week as well. I'm not saying top end of both of those, so I don't want you running 3 times a week and training 6 times a week. That's not what I'm mm-hmm. saying. The more you do mm-hmm. one of one thing, the slightly less you do of the other thing. But if you can include both of them into your workout regimen, you're going to be so much better off. At the end of the day, running will help fat loss as well. But if you actually want to develop an aesthetic physique as well, resistance training is the only thing that is going to actually sculpt your body. The problem is that I'm going to say something that will probably get me cancelled later on down the line, but a six-pack on a skinny person is about as much use as big tits on a fat girl. Like, they don't count. It doesn't count because you've got nothing else that goes with it. They just come with that physique. So what if you actually want to sculpt your body in certain ways, then you've got to resistance train, okay? If you want to improve certain areas of your body, you've got to do it because, you know, being skinny isn't that cool, and it's not healthy. It's just not healthy mm-hmm. at all. So you want to have a bit of muscle mass on there too.
Yep, that is it. So, God, this is the shortest episode we've done in a while. Guys, if you're wanting to lose fat and keeping on that with my episodes of the fat loss topic, definitely need to be doing resistance training. And there's nothing wrong with doing cardio, but if you're wanting to maintain muscle mass and potentially keep injury free, then you want to be doing resistance training. Like Jack said, 3 to 6 times a week is great. 100%.
Just a fanboy for cardio a little bit, though, I will say it will help with your, just as resistance training will help with your ability to run, it will actually make you perform better with running. If you're heavy squatting as well as running, your running technique will get better. You will get stronger in your stride. You'll get faster. You'll get quicker. But cardio also affects your resistance training. It improves your recovery speed and it helps you push longer. It increases muscle performance, muscle endurance. So look, they both complement each other really, really well. Just the problem is more people put too much effort into the cardio, not enough into the resistance training. That's why we're talking like we're talking right now.
Exactly. Yep. And it's also, you know, it's a bit of zone 2 training is good for the heart, man. A lot of people talk about it. Zone 2 training is great. So if you're going to do cardio actually alongside your resistance training, I would recommend doing zone 2 because then it's not as harsh. So it's not gonna mess up your energy systems. It's not gonna be both hitting the one area. So then that way you can recover a little bit better and you get your rest and you're not gonna feel too messed up all the time. So that's why I would suggest some zone 2 resistance training for sure. We do have an episode on zone 2 way back now. I would try and find the number for it, but I don't know if I will. But yeah, zone 2 training is good. Oh, 74. Episode 74 is our zone 2 training episode. So if you want to know more about that, go back and have a listen. But Jack, what's brown and sticky?
I mean, I don't know, Josh.
A stick.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
You was thinking poo, you dirty boy.
You just reminded me of a joke that is I can't say on air, but I will tell you after. Right. Okay. Josh, where can they find us?
They can find us at the Idea Shrimp System, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. They can also find us at Lifting Lounge on YouTube and our website, www.therdasystem.com. And you can check out.
Oh, yeah.
Check out. And we're on LinkedIn as well. I always forget about this. We're on LinkedIn. Check out Josh Parkin or Jack Buffery on LinkedIn. We drop the bombs of knowledge every day.
Hell yeah. And guys, like, comment, share everything we do. Hit the notification bell so you never miss any episode. Subscribe. And yeah, just make sure more people listen to us because we enjoy what we do and we like helping people out. And this has been episode 108, under the 45-minute mark. I think that's a first. And we will catch you for episode 109 on Thursday. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, have a cracking day. We will see you next time.
Bye.